And invite you to join me as we look to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning through your word. And we pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to bring conviction in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we are in the second week of Advent, and typically in the first 2 weeks, Sundays of Advent, we look forward to in anticipation to the second coming of Christ. And in the last 2 Sundays of Advent before Christmas Eve, we look back to remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we will examine Luke's writing from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And 3 things we are reminded of as we look forward to the second coming of Christ. Firstly, we are reminded that we are living in the end times. This is something that we don't usually like to hear, but the truth is we are indeed living in the end time. And Luke's text from Luke chapter 3, which is also known the end time text, tells us about the time that the Jews were living in. First glance at the first 2 verses, the names of these people doesn't mean very much to us. But Luke very cleverly listed the political and the spiritual leaders of that time to give us a real sense of what the Jews were going through. So let's look at these people and who they are. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, Lysanias, tetrarch of Abedin, and the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. First, it was Tiberius Caesar. Tiberius was the second Roman emperor after Augustus, and he was known for his extreme cruelty towards his enemy, or anyone for that matter who disagreed with him. He profiled himself as divine and demanded the people to worship him. So whenever the people in the temple, he demanded that he too was to be worshipped. And Tiberius will be remembered as a cruel and a diabolic ruler who took the lives of many during his reign. And then we have Pontius Pilate. Pilate was the governor of Judea, and he ruled under the authority of Tiberius. Pilate was known also for his brutality. On many occasions, he massacred innocent Jews without giving them a proper trial. And he will be remembered in history as the one who crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, for us, many of us, as we recite the Nicene Creed, especially later after the communion service, his name is being mentioned. Whether he's famous or infamous for that matter, he will be remembered forever in history as the one who crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. And following that, we have Herod and his 2 brothers, Philip and Lysanias. They were tetrarchs or rulers under Pontius Pilate. They oversaw a quarter of province each. And 3 brothers were well known for their vices, corruption, and cruelty. Herod in particular will be remembered for the beheading of John the Baptist as a reward, just to please his daughter, Matthew chapter 14. And he will also be remembered for the killing of the mere children under the age of 2 years old. When he found out about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was threatened, Matthew chapter 2. Finally, it was Caiaphas and Annas. Luke listed them as spiritual leaders of the Jews. Caiaphas was the high priest in office, but his father-in-law, Annas, was the real power behind the scene. He continued to have great influence over the priestly class of that time. Sadly, both of them were corrupted. The mention of Caiaphas and Annas brought deep sorrows to the Jews. Under their leadership, the religious leaders of that time were just obsessed with political power, and they took advantage of their office to gain personal wealth for themselves. They were not at all concerned about the spiritual lives of the people. We can say that the Jews lived in spiritual darkness under this man. Luke's purpose for mentioning these people at the start of chapter 3 was to describe for us the state of the deep darkness of the time. Politically, the Jews were subjected to severe oppression. They have no rights as human beings. They were being oppressed by the Roman masters. One commentator wrote this about the Romans and the relationship with the Jews. And he said, it was better not to be alive than to fall into the hands of the Romans. And that described how the Jews had lived in those times. How volatile and how often their lives could be just taken away for one little mistake that they might make or an offense they might make against the Romans. Socially, corruption and the degradation of moral values had spread to every corner of the land. Josephus, one of the greatest Roman historians, noted that even prostitution could be found in the temple. Spiritually, the chosen people of God, the Jews, were in need of a great revival because they were living in great spiritual darkness. And as we look at this text, my dear friends, we need to realize that we too are living in end times, just as the Jews were living in a very dark time in those days. And our Lord Jesus taught us about end time. When asked about end times, he answered in Matthew chapter 24, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and they will lead many astray." Deception will take place. The recent Colossians series reminded us of how we are surrounded by false teaching and false Christ. They will come to deceive us. And then verse 6, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." Wars. Wars after wars have taken place in our history. We have gone through two world wars and many major wars, yet fighting have not yet ceased. Some of us may be aware that after the 9/11 incident, every year, nearly a million people perish to a war-related event. 1 million, and that's more than 20 years ago. That would have made 20 over million people who have died due to a war-related event after 9/11. And then there's famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Famines. United Nations just reported recently that 25,000 people die of hunger each day. 25,000 each day. And a total of 8.5 million people would have died by this point in time because of hunger. Pestilence. Well, Spanish flu from 1918 to 1920 infected 500 million, took 50 million lives. COVID-19 was reported to have greater impact globally. And we are still in the midst of fighting this pestilence. Natural disasters. That's sin all around our world. And each time, the disasters that we are facing, that we are seeing, is just getting more severe. And our Lord says, all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Verse 9, "And they will deliver you to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Persecution of Christians. It was reported by Forbes in January 2021, early this year, that every day, 13 Christians are killed for their faith. And by this week, 4,400 Christians are killed because they believe in Jesus. Every day, 12 churches are attacked, tortured, or burned. And every day, 12 Christians are unjustly imprisoned. And every day, another 5 Christians are abducted and are never to be seen again. My friends, we are indeed living in end times. And our Lord Jesus continued to say in verse 10 that many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. And are we not, my friends, even during this COVID season, seeing how Christians are falling away, churches shutting down? The end time events are marked not only by external signs, but also by how believers live out their lives. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Friends, I've just rattled off to you quite a number of stuff, characteristics that we may have seen or be familiar with. And Paul described this as some of the signs of how we display this end-time characters and events. I've taken time to illustrate and to remind us, my friends, that we are indeed living in end times. This is undeniable. This is something, a fact that we cannot change. This is something we need to understand, that it is important for us as a church, as believers, to know the time that we are in. Very often we don't talk about end times because it's not something that we like to hear. But what is said is that we often don't even think about how we are to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ, for the return of our Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come. Matthew 24:13-14. How do we endure to the end? How can we be ready as believers, standing ready for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? We need to make straight our path. Amidst the great darkness, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And like the angels who announced the arrival of the infant Jesus in Luke 2, John announced to the people, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain hill shall be made low, and every crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. Luke and other gospel writers unanimously recognized John as a forerunner, the one who was sent, the messenger who was sent to announce the arrival of the Messiah. And they recognize him as the fulfillment of the Lord's prophetic word through Isaiah in Isaiah 40. And indeed, John came as a forerunner, as a messenger, to call the people to prepare the way of the Lord. In those days, for the king to travel from one place to another was a big and major affair. Forerunners are often sent ahead of time to announce the king's arrival wherever the king was going. People would often anticipate with great eagerness and with great hope that they could catch a glimpse of the king. The glamour of the king and the grandness of the entourage was not something that you get to see every day and not something that you want to miss. So the people were looking for it, but the Jews were, however, looking forward for an earthly king. As the forerunner of the Messiah, John was, however, not preparing the Jews for the arrival of another earthly king. Instead, he was preparing the Jews to receive the Messiah. the one who brings salvation to mankind. And in proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, John was calling the Jews to turn away from their sins and to get their relationship right with God. And when the Messiah comes, they will receive the gift of new life, salvation from Christ. My friends, since the fall of mankind, Genesis chapter 3, God's greatest concern has been for the salvation of mankind. God is concerned because we are living in deep darkness of sin. We are unable to save ourselves from the power, the clutches of sin. Without God, we can't save ourselves. The wickedness of man, the corruption of our social and moral world, has caused us to indulge ourselves in darkness. And just as John called the Jews, he's also calling us today to make straight the path for the coming of the Lord. The prophetic word of Isaiah in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, is a word picture that describes what we go through in life. We go through the valley experience, and perhaps this COVID pandemic is one such valley experiences for some of us. We face the mountains of challenges in life as well, over work issues, over health issues, over family issues, and certainly over relationship issues. We are also exposed to crooked ways of the world. We are tempted to go against the values and the principles of God just to gain something for ourselves, or perhaps to indulge in an unwholesome relationship. And certainly we all have our rough places too. Our lack of humility, our lack of patience towards one another, our lack of compassion, our unwillingness to love one another, our gratification of bad habits. We struggle to navigate our Christian life on earth. We struggle to live right with biblical values that we are taught, because maybe we are just unwilling to enthrone our Lord Jesus as the Lord of our lives. We need to make straight the path so that we stand ready, my dear friends, when Christ return in his second coming. Listen to how a Bible teacher describes sin and how we are to make straight our path. And he said, spiritually, darkness is brought on by sin. Darkness gratifies the sinful nature, allows a person to sleep spiritually, and provides a cover for evil. But his darkness is so thick, man cannot find his way around it, through it, or out of it. The solution to this dilemma will come at daybreak in the morning when the day dawns. Even as nothing can prevent the coming of dawn, neither can anything prevent the coming of Christ. Rittenbach encapsulated so well in his writing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into our world to bring light, so that we may experience hope, so that we may be free from the darkness of sin. And friends, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The penalty of sin is eternal death, and no matter how strong or how good we think we are, and no matter how much we think of good works that we think we have done, we are simply unworthy on our own accord and on our own merits to redeem ourselves from the condemnation of sin. Jesus Christ is our only hope for us to be liberated from spiritual darkness and from the clutches of sin, and to be set apart by God as righteous, to be holy, unblemished, so that we stand ready for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to judge the world. And we are reminded, my dear friends, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour we do not expect. Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Now that we know we are living in end times, and we know that we need to make straight our path in preparation for the return of our King, we are to proclaim Christ. As we look forward to the second coming of Christ, we need to also realize the urgency of the time that we are in today. As we reflect on COVID-19, as we reflect on our world, we can indeed say that this is a time of great urgency, a time that we need to proclaim Christ. And verse 6 tells us that our Lord's desire is for all flesh to see the salvation of God. God's intention is for salvation to reach all mankind. And John's proclamation of baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin amazingly brought hope to the Jews in their darkened world. How do we know that? If you turn to the Gospel of Matthew in Matthew chapter 3, you will see that then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. The Greek text indicated that there were not just some, but there were large numbers of people who were getting baptized by John. Even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were wanting to be baptized in verse 7 in Matthew chapter 3. All this took place because John was obedient to God's call to go proclaim the good news of repentance. Are we willing, my dear friends, in this season to proclaim the good news of Christ? I was really humbled yesterday morning joining a group in distributing the goodie bags to the residents of Bukit Merah and then walking the blocks, knocking on doors. It was just a great joy to see how we can spread the joy of Christmas to bring good news to many who are living in darkness. And I'm also humbled and blessed to know that many of you have been quietly but very actively sharing the gospel, going around to just preach the good news. Just to share with you, last weekend, you know, even at a wake service, some of our members were witnessing, and at a wake service, there were four persons who came to the Lord. At a wake service, my friends. Can you imagine that? God is indeed doing amazing things in our midst. And on the same weekend, last weekend, we have two different couples who walk into our Tamil service. They were not invited by anybody. Nobody knew who they were. But they just walked in and said, "We would like to know more about Jesus Christ." Another couple said, "Can we believe in Jesus? God is doing something amazing in our midst, my dear friends." And imagine if each one of us were to do our part to share the gospel one at a time. Imagine the spiritual impact that we will bring to change our world in this very dark time that we are living in. But I know some of us may not be in the mood this Christmas to evangelize. It's been 2 years since the first outbreak of COVID-19 was announced, and we are now slapped with a stronger COVID-19 variant, Omicron. I urge you and I urge us to see this depressing development in a different perspective. As things get more serious, we need to realize that the more we need to share the gospel because of the urgency of the time. As things get more serious, the more we need to realize the urgency of the time. And we need to share the gospel. No variants, no challenges should stop us from proclaiming the gospel. But of course, in a safe manner. One of the things that COVID-19 has done and shown us is to show us how people are living hopelessly in darkness. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to realize that the key to people finding hope in Christ amidst this darkness, the key is in our hand. The key is in our hand to open the doors for people to come, to see, to hear, and experience hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to fulfill the prophecy that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And our Lord Jesus has done his part on the cross of Calvary by giving his life. And are we now willing to do our part to share the gospel enabled by the Holy Spirit to someone who is living in darkness? To help us share the gospel this Christmas, allow me just a few minutes to share the plans that we have for the church. We have planned for a very special evangelistic service on the 26th of December on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And at this service, which will be on-site and also will be streamed online, it will be an opportunity for us to invite our friends to our home or to the service on-site. And for those, perhaps we may not have met our friends for the longest time, it will be a good time for a simple Christmas gathering and all within safe management measures to our homes to spend some time together and to watch the evangelistic service together via live stream and for them to hear the gospel being preached. More information of how you can host your guests will come in the next 2 weeks. But this is a time, my friends, we need to begin to pray and to reach out to our friends who need to hear the gospel. I end now with this encouragement from St. Paul, from Romans chapter 10. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. My dear friends, are you willing to be the feet of those who preaches the good news this Christmas? Please join me as we look to God in prayer. Lord, we look forward to your coming again with a humble spirit, knowing that you will come again, Lord, to judge the living and the dead. You will come to judge our world. And as we are reminded, Lord, this Advent season, help us to keep ourselves spiritually alert and awake. Help us, Lord, to make straight our path by keeping to your teaching through your holy word. And Lord, we want to remember those who have not placed their faith in you. And my friends, I want to invite you for the next 30 seconds to begin to pray for the salvation of friends and loved ones by name. And perhaps these are the people God is putting in your hearts to invite to the service or to your home this Christmas to share the gospel with them. We want to pray for their salvation. So for the next few seconds, we're just going to pray for friends and loved ones by name for their salvation. Lord, we commit this, our friends and loved ones, to you. You know who they are. We pray for their salvation. We pray that, Lord, you will open the doors of their hearts to know you and to receive you as Lord and Savior. Lord, give us the boldness this Christmas to and your grace to share the good news and to lead them to your eternal kingdom. And all this for your glory. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you.